thank you for being the great I am, and Lord, all of what that means. Let us to continue to worship you today, to give you the glory that you need and deserve in all aspects of our lives, not just at this time. Lord, again, we can't say thank you enough for all the many blessings that you've given us. We can't say thank you enough for all the things that we don't see that you are doing. So, Lord, we want to say thank you. We want to say we love you and we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, for those of you who do not know me, I am Daniel Alexander. I'm the ministry resident here at Faith, and I will be bringing you God's Word today. But first thing I'm going to do is, you know, snitch on myself this morning, so we can go ahead and get this out of the way. It was a couple months ago. I was working in the factory, and I put the side panels on big commercial-sized dryers, and so I worked with a couple guys. They've been there for well over 5 years, and they're showing me all the little tricks of the trade so that I can get faster and do this more efficiently. But there's also another young man who works with us, maybe around 19 or so. He's been with the company maybe a few weeks longer than me, but he's new to our part of the factory. And so he does not have the greatest work ethic. Just to give you an idea, like, he goes on break about 20 minutes before because he has to go to the bathroom, and he's there the whole time. He's never really in his spot. He's always talking with someone else. Unless the boss is around, then he's working. But you kind of get the idea. Well, it was maybe a week or so in, and he decided it was going to be a good idea that we alternate or switch all the roles we have in between our jobs, because as one machine's coming up, we have to go build and work on other parts so that it's ready to put on the machine. And so it wouldn't surprise you guys that he decided to give himself all the easy things and give everybody else the hard work. Needless to say, we weren't happy with that idea. And what came to my mind was, like, who made you the boss? And why are you telling me how to do my job when you don't even do yours? It's really easy for us to buck against somebody we don't think needs to be in charge. And I didn't get really angry at him or explode at him per se, but I did let it ruin the rest of my day because I just kind of sat there and festered with that in my heart and in my mind, like, who made you the boss? I want you to keep that question in mind as we read Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the mist of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he called to him, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come,
I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of their fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel, and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey, and they will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go, and I will give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask her neighbor, and any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold jewelry, for clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now Moses knew that question was coming. Who made you the boss? He's already faced it. About 40 years ago, when he is trying to step in and between these two Hebrew men who are fighting and stop them from fighting with each other, they ask him, Who made you a judge over us? Who made you the boss? And at that point, he didn't have an answer. So he is going to know that right now. He's going to make sure. So he asks God, What is your name? So now we need to talk a little bit about the importance of names. In ancient times, names gave you three things. First off, they give you an identity. They let you know who you are. They also give you power and authority. These are the things that they trusted in and believed. I'll give you some examples of the identity that comes from names. Start with Abraham. His name means father of many nations. Although he himself was only the father of two boys, those grew into many nations. And so he is the forefather of many nations. You have Jacob, the heel grabber, the trickster, the deceiver. He came out grabbing his brother's heel. He tricked his brother into giving his birthright over a bowl of soup. He deceived his father into getting the blessing that was for Esau. He was who his name is, the liar, the cheater, and the deceiver. But God eventually changes his name to Israel, which means one who struggles with God. And this is the name that is passed on to the people, the Israelites, and they will forever be the people who struggle with God. Names have power, importance, and identity. Now, the other thing at play was this power. The world is polytheistic at this time, which means they believe in many gods, lowercase g, and worship all of them. But they needed to know the name of the god that they were worshiping. If they had the name, they could have a little bit of their power, a little bit of their control. And then if it was the god of the weather, if they knew the name, they could pray for rain and help their crops grow, so on and so forth. Names had power. And although it's changed a little bit, names still have power for us. If you go to the doctor and you're hurting and something's just wrong and they have no answer for you, there's a level of fear and anxiousness there that you just can't shake. But as soon as they give you that diagnosis, as soon as you get a name for it, there's a little bit of peace that comes with that. You know that someone else has had this, someone else has gone through it, that the doctors know what's going on and they have steps to move forward. It may be a hard diagnosis, but there's still a little bit of a peace by knowing what's going on. And the final one is authority. Now, there is a little bit of difference between power and authority. That power is more about control. And authority is more of enforcing. So I like to think of like power as you get to make the rules. Authority is in who has the power over you, who has power over the situation, who enforces the rules. And so Moses is asking for God's name in that authority. Who's going to enforce what's being said or what is coming? Now, at one time previously, God's name was asked for in a sense of wanting and desiring power. And so this takes place in Genesis chapter 32. Verse 22. The same night he arose and he took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And Jacob responded, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." Jacob was desiring God's name for that power, for that control, for that extra blessing. Because that's who Jacob was and is. That deceiver, that grabber, that liar. But God doesn't give him his name at this time. Instead, God changes Israel, or Jacob's name, to Israel. He changes his identity. But Moses is asking in a different way. Moses is asking for that authority, not power. I'm not saying that Moses couldn't possibly thinking about the potential for power later, but that is not what's going on in this passage. Moses is asking, who gets the glory if this works? Or who can I pass the blame on to if it doesn't? And then God gives Moses his name. And what is the name of God? God tells Moses to call him Yahweh. This means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. Either way, God reveals a lot about who he is. And at the same time, this really doesn't sound like much of an answer. So, you know, if I ask my daughter to tell me what she's doing, and I get, I am doing what I am doing, I'm going to be a little upset at her. She doesn't have the power or the authority in the relationship to just say that she is doing what she's doing. But the relationship between God and Moses is different. God does have the power and authority to say, I am who I am. And you can rest and have peace in that. At the same time, I catch myself saying to my daughter sometimes when she asks a question about why we do the things we do. I'm the parent. I know what's going on. There's more that you can't see. And I may share with you later, or I may not. And you can rest and trust and have peace in that response. That doesn't mean we like that response, but it's what's asked of us. But in saying, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, God gives us a little bit about himself. When he says, I am who I am, he is saying that he is the self-defining one. That he is the only one who can describe himself. Anybody else who tries is going to fall short, is going to fail. He also says that he is the one who exists. He causes himself. He is because he is. That's it. And he's saying he doesn't change. I am who I am, and I will always be who I am. So just from this short answer of I am who I am, we get a God who is self-existent. We get a God who is self-defining and unchanging. And then we can look at I will be who I will be. And this shows us a God who is active. He is doing things in this world. It shows us a God who has a plan for the future, because there is a will be. And it shows that God is all powerful. Nothing can stop him or will stop him from being who he is or doing what he will do. And it also shows us that this God is going to continue to reveal himself to his people, because he is revealing himself now in this instant, and he will be revealing himself in the future. God is giving so much about himself in what seems like a non-response. Then God takes this a step further and says he is also the God of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is tying himself to a specific people group. These are going to be his people. And this is how the elders will know and understand that this is the God who is with them. This is the God who has been with them. And this is the God who will always be with them. And how do Moses and the elders respond to this God who reveals himself? They believe. They have faith in this God. They have faith in the God of their forefathers, that this God will give them strength to go in front of Pharaoh, the most powerful man, the king of Egypt. They have faith that this God is going to perform these mighty miracles, these mighty works. They have faith that this God is going to save his people. And this God deserves to be worshipped, and they trust that he will bless his people. I'm going to reread verses 18 from Exodus 4. And they, being the elders, will listen to your voice, and you and the elders shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. And after that, he will let you go. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and when you go, you shall not go empty. God responds to Moses by not only telling him his name, but telling him what will happen in the future. The elders will believe. Pharaoh will deny. God will step in. Israel will be blessed and have their freedom. This is just a small glimpse of the rest of Exodus. And we will see that I am who I am will be faithful because that is who he is. That's a fun story. That's an important history, but what does that mean for you today? To answer that question, we need to just look at the name. God is I am. God is I will be. We are worshiping the very same God that Moses and the elders had faith in. God has not changed. He is still the God who cares about his people. God still reveals himself to his people. And God still delivers his people from bondage. The best example of this is Jesus. God has revealed himself more fully in Christ than in any other. And through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we have been set free from the bondage of sin. And this leads us with the final question. How do you respond to this revelation? How do you respond to this God who is? This God who will be? Do you respond with trust and faith, like the elders and Moses? Or do you respond with denial, like Pharaoh and Egypt? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to say thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for being the great I am. And Lord, help us to struggle and have time to dwell on that thought. Or are we responding to you in faith? Are we trusting in who you are, the unchanging one, the one who saves, the one who reveals, the one who loves? And Lord, if there's someone here who wants to have and step out in faith but just doesn't exactly know what that means, Lord, give them the confidence and the trust to ask someone who they're sitting by. Because I know that there are people here who would love the opportunity to share you with those around them. And Lord, for those of us who have put our faith and trust in you, help us to do so with not just our words, but with our actions. Help us to live out what that faith looks like, what that trust looks like day in and day out. Help us to live humbly, knowing we need you every second of every day. Help us to live gracious lives that thank you for all the things you do. And let us live lives that love you, because you are who you are. And you loved us first, before we ever deserved it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.